So the teaching of tonight will give you a particular knowledge that will make you begin to understand how the spiritual world operates. And I'll be teaching you a message entitled The Sacred Geography of a Believer. Say with me, the sacred geography of a believer. So, there are geographies in the spirit. And these geographies are very important to be understood. And I'm not just teaching you, I'll be teaching you with intra-biblical evidences that are not just important, but they are referrals to an extent that you're going to understand, because most of the teaching that I'll be talking about deals with practical realities that you as a believer is going through. So now let's start. So to start with, I want you to understand a very important aspect, because this teaching is going to pull you in the certain realm where you're going to discover yourself, so that you don't just believe, but this material I'm giving you must be used as an evidence of your faith. Because the teaching I teach, the word of God I give you, I don't give you for your comfort, but I give you as an evidence, as a material that you can use. And the sad truth is this. Most believers do not use the acquired evidence to present their case before the Lord. This is why you must understand the Trinity. This way you must understand God the Father. You must understand that when we stand in His presence, we are standing in His courts. And this is why David mentioned about the courts several times. He said, I will enter His courts with what? With thanksgiving in my heart. That was not just a word that he was using as a metaphor. That was a fact. There are courts in the spirit. For you to know there are courts in the spirit, the Bible calls the devil the accuser. So you can never have a court without what? An accuser. So the government or the prosecutors will bring you, and they will be calling you the accused. And who's the accuser? The prosecutor. And the Bible tells us that God is the judge. So God being the judge, the devil being what? The accuser. And the book of John 16 tells you that the Holy Spirit is what? The advocate, the lawyer. So if you see the whole thing, we are dealing with a woman today who the devil is accusing that she's sick. I'm trying to talk to somebody. The devil is accusing that you're what? You're sick. The devil is accusing that you're poor. So what you're facing right now is an accusation of the enemy. He says, you are this. You are this. Scripture tells us that even the devil did the same to Joshua. Until the Lord said what? I rebuke you. Do you understand when Moses died? Do you understand when he died that the devil came and he said, this body is mine? He began to accuse Moses of belonging to him. Until the angel came and he said, I rebuke you. Because the devil always wants powerful people to be called his. That's why if you are highly anointed, the devil raise up people to say, you should have said that that man is a Satanist. Why? Because the devil is admiring the anointing. So he wants that to be affiliated with him and not to God. When the lame are walking, he wants people to say they are using the devil's power. How can the devil cause a sickness and he himself heal it? And again, he's using the name of Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus, when he came on earth, that there was a propaganda that Jesus was a Satanist? And there was the whole propaganda in the Bible where they were calling him that he's using his power. He's coming from Beelzebub. And Jesus said, how can you say that? If I cast out demons using what? Then what about your children? If I cast demons by a finger. So understand this. The devil always wants to accuse you. If he accused Jesus that he belonged to him, he will accuse you. He will bring you sickness. He will bring you trouble. He will bring a lot of stuff around you because he wants that glory to go to his name. Am I talking to somebody? So he'll bring sickness, he'll bring diseases, he'll bring different type of things and a different type of situations in the life of a believer. That's what the Bible says, but we have the advocate. We have the Holy Spirit. And he says, and scripture says, as weak as we are, we do not know how to pray. But the Spirit will make intercessions. On our behalf. For we are weak. And these words, petition, intercession, all these type of words, pleading, you hear them in court when a lawyer stands up. And he'll be using all these words to the judge. Your worship. You'll be hearing those words. Pleading. All those words, judgments, and these are the words used in the Bible way before the courts came. So between God's system of justice and the worldly system of justice, we see that God's system of justice had already come. Are you understanding? So where you are being accused. Maybe sometimes you forget, when you go, you sleep, the enemy is accusing you. And what you may think is a sickness is an accusation of the enemy. And you have the advocate, the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to stand and plead your case to say she's not sick. Amen. And this is why all you have to do is to allow the Holy Ghost to speak through you. Hallelujah. So when you stand and you begin to pray and the Holy Ghost takes over, the Holy Ghost is pleading in the case. She's not sick. She's not sick. She's the Holy Ghost speaks to the Father through you with the groanings which cannot be uttered. So, there are three geographies in the spirit. Please, hear this. There are three geographies in the spirit. Number one, the first geography we want to discuss about is the womb. Somebody say the womb. There is a geography in the spirit that has been ignored by so many believers, yet they read the Bible. Womb, say womb with me. Say again, say womb. Womb is not just a place where you were born. A womb is a place and a location in the spirit. You're going to understand this much better when I minister to you. What comes in your mind when you hear the word womb? A womb is a place of conception. And several scriptures tells us that God himself mentioned this word. And that must give us a question mark and ask ourselves uncomfortable questions. Why is God mentioning this? And what is happening? And what happened with me when I was in the womb? Do you know, most of you have no clue. You have no clue. But something happened when you were in your mother's womb. And knowing it, it can help you. I know you just look at yourself in the mirror, but trust me, you were in somebody's womb before. This teaching is going to make you understand the purpose, why you are here. And once a person understands purpose, they begin to pursue it and live in it. So number one, somebody say womb. Okay. We have described this word as a place of conception. But let's dig it deeper. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
I want you to go to Psalm 139, verse 15 to 16.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth.
Now, I want you to see a very important word here. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth.
Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them.
So, you see, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Wait. Do you know the meaning of substance? Do you know that some of you, when you see it, you don't see your substance? Do you know God saw it even before you were formed? And the Bible says in the secret place, when you see, most believers and most people in the world, they think they were born just out of mechanics. You were born by the mercy. You see, until today, people are convinced that they are just existing. You are not just existing. You didn't just come by accident. According to your parents, you might have been born by accident. But trust me, in the spirit, you were not born by accident. There was a divine arrangement that day you must be formed. And the Bible tells us, now I want you to hear this very importantly, because when you do not understand why you exist, you're believing like a beggar. But when you know why God formed you, you will discover your purpose. Understand this. So scripture tells us, if you see there, in verse 16, it says what?
Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed.
Now stop there. Do you understand that there are people right now who you don't even understand why you exist? And you can't even show why you are here. And if I may ask you a question and you have nothing to show, you have no any substance, but the Bible says God saw your substance. And true to the word, if you see the life of David, he was a shepherd boy. Among all the brothers, he was the one who was not working. All his brothers were working. And in fact, some of them were generals in the military. Am I talking to you? And he was a shepherd boy. He had not yet a substance to show to people. But God saw what? Substance. Why? The Bible says God was there when he was being formed in the secret place. It says God did not just form him. It says God used skill to craft. Now, this teaching is about to get interesting. It's about to get interesting. The day I realized that it required divine presence for me to be born, it changed my thinking. Let me show you the same verse in New Living Translation. Can you read it together?
You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book.
Do you understand that?
Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed.
That's what's happening in the spirit right now in your life. And I know some of you may not even have an idea. But the whole yesterday was being recorded. Today, this event is being what?
Recorded.
Somebody shout, I'm not an accident. Come on, say it again. I am not here by accident. Say, God is forming something big out of me. Something beautiful is coming out of your life. My God will not disappoint you. In Galatians 1, verse 15 to 16.
But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with the flesh and blood.
Verse 15 again. See that.
But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb.
Okay, so the word that is being used there is the word what? Separation. From where?
My mother's womb.
I want you to say these words. Say, I have fought battles. Competitions. Do you understand you are competing with millions of your brothers and sisters? And then God separated you. According to the verse, God separated me. Where? In Jeremiah 1 verse 5, it says what? Before
I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
Do you understand this? So the word is sanctified is the word is set apart. Do you understand that you were separated even before you were born? You competed with millions and millions of other sperms. But it is you that won the victory. Now, you are thinking of this small battle in front of you. You are going to win it. The problem is you do not understand something that is very beautiful. Now, we are about to read one more verse and then take this womb into another level. Now, let's just go into the book of Psalms. We're going to read verse 25, verse 6. Now, so here we're going to start dealing with the womb from the different context of understanding. The womb is not just a biological place, but it is a prophetic metaphor of spiritual incubation. Come on, somebody say, I'm here. There is a place apart from the physical womb, which you know. In the spirit too, there is also what? A womb. So what is a womb? A womb is a place where you are kept until you mature for you to be born. So in the spirit too, God has got his own wombs where he puts his people. Until you mature, then he releases you. So God, he has got his own spiritual what? Wombs where he puts his people until they reach the spiritual 9 months. And then he says, I can now release you. It is dangerous to be born before time. Now read Psalms 25 and 6. What does it say?
Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old.
Your tender what?
Your tender mercies and loving kindness, for they are from old.
That word mercies is the word rechem. In Hebrew, which means womb. Oh, wait. The word mercy, it may also mean compassion. And the word reshem, it means womb. It also means compassion. It also means what? Mercy. So if you check from the Hebrew context, if you have a Hebrew Bible, it will show you the word there is the word reshem. Okay? But it's pronounced in Hebrew as rechem. So the C is silent. And it means what? From the Hebrew Bible. Read it.
The word Rashem means womb.
You see that?
As a noun, womb.
Mm-hmm.
Compassion.
Compassion.
Yes, two meanings, compassion and womb.
Are you understanding that? Now, so if you read the Bible, you get surprised to say, what? So it means compassion. It means mercy. It means you are at mercy. You can be born or not. That womb in a woman that she carries, she's carrying a place of mercy. You are not understanding me. She's carrying a place of what? She can carry you or not. She can keep you or not. It's a place of mercy. It's a place of compassion. And the Bible uses the word mercy. If you check the Bible of chapter 25, he is talking about the womb in the context of mercy. Can you read it?
Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old.
Mm.
So mercy, rechem, means womb, compassion, bowels, mercy, pity, love, tender.
You getting that? So there is a place in the realms of the spirit. When God wants something to be born out of you, he puts you under mercy. He puts you under compassion. And this is the most painful place. Because if there is the darkest place in life, it is the womb. Do you understand that when you were in your womb, in your mother's womb, do you understand there was no light? Do you understand that when God wants something beautiful to be born, he allows darkness to surround it? What if I tell you tonight that actually it's not light that exists? It is darkness that came first. This is why if you switch off those lights, there'll be darkness. It's not like darkness came. No. It is a light that came and intruded. It has always been dark. What if I remind you that scripture tells us that before everything, darkness covered the earth. It is God who said, let there be light. Light just appeared and God created it day and night. These things just came to invade what was already there. I'm trying to talk. However, you will not see certain stars if there is no darkness. You will need this darkness to be there for you to see what? You will not see the moon in its beauty if there is no what? So God allows some darknesses to surround you because God knows that's the only point you can shine like a star. Wait, I'm trying to talk to you. I'm trying to talk to you. So understand the scripture here. So the Bible here says that your loving kindness and your mercies are from what? From God. I don't know if you're hearing this. God didn't just start this journey with you from today. This journey started with you from your old. From the time you were even not born. God began a journey with you. But understand this, that the womb period of your mom does not also mean it's the same womb period with the Lord. This is why Jesus was born after 9 months from the mother. But Jesus was not yet born with the Lord at that particular time. It took 30 years for Jesus to be released from the womb of the Father. I'm trying to talk to somebody. Then Jesus says, marvel or not that I say unto you, be born again. Why? Because there are other birthings in the spirit. There are other wombs in the spirit. He says, he who was born of the spirit. So there is also another birth of the spirit. You can be born of the flesh. You can also be born of the spirit. And again, in the spirit, there are also different birthings. There is a birth into Christian, into new birth of Christ, of having new life in Christ Jesus. And there is also the birth into destiny. God can keep you. He can incubate you until the moment and time when he says, I must release her. Now, this is the process that many believers do not want. And God told me, he said, tell my people, do you understand that this is the moment so many believers give up? If I can show you right now, if I can show you in the spirit what God has prepared for you, some of you is just in the next 2 weeks. But today you have no idea. I have seen people who gave up when they were about to receive their miracle. Have you ever thought about it? If Elisha stopped following Elijah in Bethel, imagine he moved from Gilgal through Jericho. He went through Bethel, Jericho, Jordan. Imagine the day he just said, you know what? You can go. He never stopped following until they crossed Jordan. Elijah said, if you look at me, he said, if you see it, you're going to get it. There are certain things, until you see them, you will never get them. Understand this word I'm about to show you here. Are you ready for this? Understand this. Some of you right now, you are in the womb. I pray for you. This spiritual location where God has put you into, I pray that until you grow, until you mature, I pray that you understand this place faster. Because from this place, when you are released, the whole world will be surprised. Listen to me. The period of your adaptation of learning, of becoming what God wants you to do or become, can shorten the period of you being in the womb. When you are still crying, when you are still having so many questions, that's not the period. This is a moment, if God is preparing you for ministry, it's a moment you must grow in ministry. If God is preparing you to be a kingdom financial, you must grow and expand in your knowledge of finances. Somebody shout, I'm in the womb. So, we're going to see the three phases of the womb. Number one, the hidden phase. Psalm 139, verse 15. The Bible says what?
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth.
When I was made in secret, I want you to underline that word. When I was made in secret. The word secret is the word seta in Hebrew, which means a place of hiding. So God can put you at a place of hiding and make you there. Ah, you didn't hear this? When I was what? Made in secret. Meaning God can make certain people when they're what? Hidden. Not when people are watching. No, you're not getting this part. Somebody shout, I hear you, my prophet. Do you understand what I'm saying? David is saying, you put me at a secret place and there you made me. This is the most dangerous place. The word secret, just check in Hebrew Bible, it said seta.
Seta means covering, shelter, hiding place, secret place.
Are you seeing that? So imagine God hiding you, covering you. This is the place where many people feel abandoned. This is the place where many people feel forgotten. This is a place where many people have questions. Why is everybody seeming to ignore me? But sometimes it's not being ignored. It is the formation. In the spirit, God hides people. He puts them in a secret place. And he covers them from people. That's the meaning of separation. Separation means rejection. And I want to say this thing to you. If you are not feeding that, if you're not feeding not seeing, there is no separation. Separation starts with when God says, I want you to be alone. There are people right now who are gossiping about you, speaking bad about you. There are people who have even ignored you. They don't care about you. You mean like, what's happening? Sometimes it's not that you are being ignored. God is putting you at a place of secrecy. And God understands what he's doing. Am I speaking to you? There's a word in English known as tete-a-tete. A place of meeting, which is a secret. So God wants you to be at a point where he meets you, and it's a secret place. God hides you. He covers you. You'll be wondering what's happening with you. Are you understanding?
Yes.
You.
Yes, Papa.
God is what?
Hiding
who?
Me.
Exactly. When God is hiding you, it's the most first phase. God hides you. These are three phases of the womb. One, he hides you. Even physically, the womb is hidden. There is a purpose. God would have made it that when you are pregnant, the baby should be on top of your nose. God could have done it. But God does not want people to see how he is forming you. How God is molding it. What God is doing it. He doesn't want them to know the color. Whether you be light or lighter. Whether your face is going to be a bit. He says no. They can go into the scan, they can scan, they can see, they can have an idea, but they do not have the proper idea. Am I talking to somebody? They do not have what? A proper idea. They may know it's a boy, it's a girl, but they may not know the proper idea. God is something is hiding. And when God is hiding you at that moment, there is a reason why. Am I speaking to you? Do you know if they knew Jesus, that he is going to be Jesus? By the age of 2, 3, they would have killed him. The day the secret was breached, when he was born, when the wise men went to the king, same day they said, let's go and kill him. You have no idea how many people will finish you. And some of you, people have already finished you because they knew something small about you. Thank God, it's only the thing they know. They have no idea of the greater things coming ahead of you. They thought that's you about you. They thought that was all about you. They thought this is it about him. This is it about her. They have no idea. You have not yet started. I prophesy this to you. You have not yet started. The world is about to watch a movie. God is about to pull a show. And people will watch it. They will see it. Somebody shot them in the secret place. That's why the book of Psalms says what? Chapter 91.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of
so
the Almighty.
The word that is used there is the word abide. It's not that God will cause you to abide. It is you who shall abide. It involves intentional thinking. Like, I'm not leaving. So you are dwelling in the secret. God is hiding you. My friend, I want to say this to you. We're going to make prayers here. And these prayers, we don't want premature birth. And we don't want the spirit of abortions and the demonic spirit of miscarriages. Like something was being born, big thing, all of a sudden is gone. We don't want premature births. We want what God is preparing for you to happen. And I wanna promise you, and I wanna say this: the devil will not have a hold over your children. He will not have power over what you are planning to do. Raise up your right hand and say these words in the mighty name of Jesus. I am in the secret place of Almighty. So, the three phases of womb formation. Number one, I've given you, it is the hidden place. And number two, the skillful phase. Say skill. Skillful phase. The same verse, Psalm 139, verse 15.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest part of the earth.
The word skillfully wrought, it comes from the Hebrew word ruham, R-U-Q-A-M, and it means a special art. A special art. It is when there is an embroider. It means it's not a mass production. Are you hearing me? It is when there is no mass production, but there is just one thing where an artist is focusing on that. You come tomorrow, they say, we are sorry, we don't produce a lot. We get order of one. And we need to take our time on it. Skill. Are you understanding? So God, number one, he puts you at a secret place. Then he starts his skill on you. Putting everything together. Can you read in Hebrew?
In Hebrew, racham means embroiderer, needlework, curiously work, mix colors, skillfully wrought or woven, skillfully woven.
This is the first that most believers don't want to be. I can promise you, you're watching this program tonight because God is using his skill to make you watch. He brought you into this ministry by his skill. There is something he wants to make you become. You are not getting it. I said, God is so busy right now. He says, like someone who's a craftsman. God is so busy putting everything in order. This from the secret place into the what? The skillful. God is now making everything. Trust you me. Trust the process. I know it may look long, but the Bible says he is using skill. Am I talking to somebody right here? He's putting the eye where the eye must be. He's putting the nose where the nose must be. He's putting the lungs where the lungs must be. Are you understanding? In the good news, let's read in the good news. The same verse, good news.
When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, When I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there.
So you see, this is the phase the enemy attacks the most. And he uses three things to attack this phase. One, comparison. You begin to compare yourself with others. He gives you a question, why are you not yet out? Where is through in the dark? You begin to see others and you say, I wish I was like them. But trust you me. Trust him. He is working using his skill. The day you will be released, whether it's your calling, whether it's your business, whatsoever you are, everything will be in place. Am I talking to you? You see, when you grow, you don't. See, some of us, we don't even like, oh, why are these things? Why are these, you know, why we've been praying? We've been praying, and why are these things not ending now? Why? That's childishness. Some hear prophets. Are you hearing me? When people think that's it of you, God says, you are starting now. Do you understand at the age of 75 when people thought Abraham now is old? That's the time God came to Abraham and said, I'm calling you. He said, what are you talking about? I'm 75. God says, now we are starting a journey now. So what? You see, that's the moment some people begin to think, now I'm old, I'm going. That was the moment God said, we are starting. Amen. Are you hearing me? God said what?
We are
at 75. God didn't come at 40. God didn't come at 50. He says, leave your father and your mother. Do you know how old he was when he was getting that message? He was 75. And God is talking about his father and his mother. He says, leave them to a place I'll show you. He said, there I shall make you great. You will make me great at 75? God says, in my womb is a different womb with your mother's womb. Am I talking to somebody right here? The womb of God is different. Are you hearing me? You'd be surprised when you start buying private jets. Allow the womb process to happen. Allow the womb process to happen. It's painful. Now, this is a most painful truth. You begin to compare, comparison. Why me? Why? The Bible says, can a pot ask the potter? Can the pot ask the potter? Are you hearing me? This is not mass production. It is divine craftsmanship. Are you understanding? God is not in a hurry. He's not making something fast, fast, fast. He's not making cookie cutter sense. Is it? He's taking his time. He knows. But the day, you see right now, there are some people fighting you. They are doing this thing. God says, God is allowing certain things to happen now so that you can see, oh, okay, this is what is happening. God is doing something. He knows. Some of you, your man left you in a very bad manner. As I'm speaking now, you are single. Imagine that man. Imagine if you had become billionaires at that time. Then he chases you away with nothing. God said, wait. I know when to make you a billionaire. Imagine. God was like, wait. Am I speaking to somebody? Somebody shout, I'm in the womb. The first phase, the secret, the hidden. The second phase, skillful. The phase where God is using skill. Trust you me, this is the point where sometimes you'll be meeting people you never thought. God will be creating some networks. God is doing something right now. There are certain things, they are starting and they are ending. You start, this is ending. Trust you me, it has not ended. When what is in you starts working, that person you knew it didn't work shall be needed. When that, Am I talking to somebody? That person that you knew, you did something together, and it never worked. When God releases you, you'll be, oh my God, God allowed me to walk in some corridors of power, some offices, some connections, because God was preparing something. And I'm seeing this in the spirit. And that's why a lot of people do not understand the prophetic ministry, because they think prophetic ministry just works like, touch my head, boom. Okay, a miracle. There's a huge difference between a miracle and destiny. Miracle can save for a particular short time, but destiny is your calling. Do you understand? The miracle in Cana of changing water to wine, it was a miracle of that time. It only saved them at that time. When they drank the wine, it got finished. The miracle was what? Finished. A miracle can happen. You can have money and pay your rent and pay your fees and pay your debts. And it's finished. Then tomorrow you need another miracle. But destiny is when God puts you at a place of money, a place of liquidity, where you have got cash like nobody's business. That's beyond a miracle now. That's destiny. God says, here, I am not making a miracle. I am making you a possessor. Am I talking to you? So you may miss your miracle, but you will not miss your what? Your destiny. Because that is the place where you sit. It's a place of liquidity, a place where you make decisions, there's cash flow. You may miss a miracle, but you're not going to miss your destiny. Somebody shout, I receive my destiny. There was a moment David missed a miracle. David prayed. David was in the bush and he became hungry. There was a man that he helped feed his flocks, feed his sheep. And then David became hungry. He needed money and the food. So he sent a message and he said, we want food. The man said, no. Naba. His name was called Naba. Do you know what happened with him? He refused. This is David. The guy refused. There was no miracle. They stayed in the bush, no food. He missed it. But trust you me, did he miss the destiny? No. He became the king. You may miss your miracle, but you will not miss your destiny. There was a moment he became a king. He didn't have to beg food from Naba anymore. If he needed the food, it was just a matter of a word. In fact, even before asking for food as a king, people were already bringing the food. What he missed in his days of prayer, when he was being hidden by the Lord in the secret place, when God was using his skill, he never missed when he was released. I am seeing the Lord releasing you this year. Somebody say, I'm here. The third phase of the womb is known as the known phase. Known phase. In Jeremiah 1 verse 5.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations.
Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you.
I knew you.
So that's the known phase. The word known is the word yada in Hebrew. It's the word yada, which means intimate. It means covenant. It means covenantal knowledge. What does it mean? It means the moment you feel like you are being hidden in the womb, that's the time God knows you. Do you know what God said? He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So that moment where you think you are not known, you are hidden, you are not cared, that's the moment God says what? I know you. This is not just a knowing. It's a full knowledge. Knowing even before you step. Knowing God knows you. This period, God knows. So don't even fear what's going to happen. Do not be anxious. God is working out something. There is a skill and he knows you. He knows what's happening around you. He knows, he has the ability. He has good foreknowledge. You see what the Bible says? It says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Before you were even born. I what? In Revelation 2 verse 17.
He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. I will give him a white stone, and on the stone, a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it.
Somebody say, in the Spirit, I have a name that nobody knows. Say it again. In the Spirit, I have a name that nobody knows. Let's get it. I want to show you something. So what's needed when you're in the womb? This place of a womb, it's not just a motivational speech. It is a call to warfare. It is a call to warfare. That's why a woman that is pregnant visits regularly the gynecologist. Because anything can what? Can happen. This is why a lot of things happen when a baby is in the mother's womb. They can be breech presentation. I have seen people with great destinies being miscarried. Do you know that King Saul, his anointing was even more greater than David? The Bible says he was anointed to inherit God's inheritance. But his calling was miscarried. God said, I don't want you anymore. Get out. This is an invitation to warfare. What you are must never be lost. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 to 22, we see Pharaoh commanding the Hebrew midwives to kill the male child at birth. Have you ever thought or ever seen in a life where you had something or a business or a project that the moment it was born, immediately it died? The moment the idea started at its birth, it died. Because the devil targets just born babies. Listen, the process of the womb is not a place of comfort. It is a place of warfare. It is a place of downloading the will of God. It's a place of being careful. It's a place of prayer. It is a place of understanding, why am I here? God, are you not just hiding me? Or you are hiding me for a purpose? There is something that God wants you to become. It is beyond just for you. Like, there are people right now unto today who are just watching this program for them. Like, I'm watching. I want a miracle to happen to me. Come on. God lives beyond self needs. Are you hearing me? Do you know Abraham went to God and said, I need a child? And God said, listen to me. Your grandchildren shall be. I'm not looking for grandchildren. I'm looking for a child. God was talking about what? Grandchildren. He said, look up. He said, as you see, your grandchildren. Huh? God says, your grandchildren shall go into a far country. There, they will be there for 400 years. After 400 years, they shall come back and they shall take the land. Abraham says, ah. Imagine Abraham wanted it, he himself, to do it. But God is speaking what? Generational. So if you think today, like I need a miracle now, God has got a whole plan. He wants something that can stay because God is eternal. He loves seeing eternity around you. Whatever you do, if you start a project, it must be what? Eternity. If you start something, it must be eternal. Something. If you open up something, it must be eternal. God is not willing to see things born and things die in your hands. God wants something that can stay. This is why he's hiding you. This is why God is showing you things. At this stage, you feel rejected, you feel abandoned, you feel alone. But you can agree with me that this is a moment you are knowing people. You are knowing those who love you. You know those who hate you. You are knowing true colors of people. This is a moment God is showing your eyes. He's opening your eyes. But trust you, by the time he releases you, you will be so wise to trust people the way you were trusting them before. You will be able to be so cautious. Right now you are knowing them. You are knowing this is how people are. This is that how that woman is. This is how that friend is. Because before you would be involving them. If this miracle was released that time, you would have involved them. You would have thought they were your friends. But God said, I'm going to keep this so I can show you. I can show you the heart of man. I can show you how that woman thinks. That man thinks, I am the Lord and I know what I'm doing.